All right, we're in developer platform world. I wonder if anyone recognizes you. Who are you again?
My name is Scott Guthrie. And, I'm a corporate vice president in the developer division here at Microsoft.
Absolutely, and you own a lot of products. What exactly are they again?
I own kind of a core .NET framework, so the CLR and the mobile CLR and the core base class libraries, the website, ASP.NET, IS7, Commerce Server, Intermediate Server, products, mm-hmm. and then the Visual Studio tools for targeting them. And then on the desktop client side, WPF and the Visual Studio tools for targeting that. And then Silverlight and all the controls, class libraries, and the Visual Studio tools for targeting that. So hodgepodge of different things.
That's amazing. And you're an avid blogger. You write your own blog entries, which are super popular and very detailed.
Yeah.
Now, you actually really write those.
I really do.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
It really is.
Unfortunately, I didn't sleep last night because I'm writing the most recent one. But yeah, I actually really do write them.
Perfect. So you do a lot of keynotes. And you keynoted PDC.
Yeah.
Which was very successful as usual. You're also going to keynote Mix09.
Yeah.
So I kind of wanted to talk to you about what you're going to talk about, right? I mean, it's Mix09 is sort of this interesting conference where it's a hybrid between developers and designers, mm-hmm. and a lot of the tools you write are targeted towards developers.
Mm-hmm.
So I was kind of hoping we could map sort of how you put the pieces together to target yeah. people who don't just write code for a living.
Well, yeah, well, Mix in general is a pretty fun event. It's probably my most favorite conference, every year.
Cool.
So I've done the keynote for... I've been in the keynote, this would be my fourth time, and I think I've done the main keynote this would be my third time. So, and it's a smaller conference than PDC, so it's a little bit more intimate, and so you get to hang out with people more, and it's got a little bit of an edge to it, which is pretty nice.
Mm.
And it's primarily focused on user experience and web development, and so it's got a very strong focus on that angle,
mm-hmm.
And as you say, it has both developers and designers. I think that the thing that we've often used Mix for is for big announcements. Mm-hmm. And so, 2 years ago we announced Silverlight, the overall Silverlight project. Last year we announced Silverlight 2 and, the beta for that,
mm-hmm.
And all the great features that came as part of that and the .NET integration. And you're going to hear a lot more about Silverlight 3 this year.
Excellent.
And all the great features that are becoming as part of that release. So it's, and then obviously the Visual Studio tools and the expression tools to target it for both developers and designers. So it'll be a fun conference. It'll also cover a lot more on ASP.NET, including the new ASP.NET 4.0 release that we haven't talked too much publicly about, but
mm-hmm.
Includes lots of great features, including with web forms and AJAX and dynamic data and kind of core ASP.NET. Things like caching, things like security, and then we'll be talking a lot more about the new ASP.NET Model View Controller framework, or MVC framework,
mm-hmm.
That's going to be shipping shortly, and have a lot of great sessions on that too. So, if you're a web developer and you only got one conference to go to this year, that's definitely the conference, and it's set in Vegas, and so it's kind of a fun, usually warmer than here, place to visit and. It's a good couple days.
Cool. So let's dig in a little bit to on your blog. You've talked a little bit about Silverlight 3, some of the mm-hmm. new things you've added, sort of mm-hmm. Support for 3D, mm-hmm. hardware acceleration, which is actually probably mm-hmm. was pretty challenging.
Mm-hmm.
What else can you talk about now without giving away too much?
Yeah, we've kept it a little quiet. I mean, we've mainly been focused on Silverlight 2, and had a lot of success. And we shipped Silverlight 2 in October. And, I've had, now hundreds of millions of downloads of it. We've had a lot of big success with Netflix. They actually just announced their quarterly earnings this week. It was sort of a bright spot for the tech sector.
Nice.
And they actually called out their streaming service that is all Silverlight-based as part of their earnings announcement. It's one of the big reasons why their profits were up 45%, which was nice to see. Most recently, last week, we had the Obama inauguration. We actually, a number of sites used Silverlight to stream it live. CBS got rave reviews as kind of the best online inauguration capture of the video. I think they were doing up to 3 megabits
mm-hmm.
In terms of high-def video from like 7 camera angles. Nice. And the official Presidential Inauguration Committee website that is run by the government also used Silverline. So a lot of success there. Obviously things like the Olympics and just a ton of other projects that have gone live recently. It's been great. So we've mainly been focused on the existing shipping Silverlight 2. You know, Silverlight 3 is going to be a pretty major update. Mm. And I think people will be pleasantly surprised by how much stuff is in it. We've talked about a few, we've dropped hints about a few of the things. Some of it's the graphics improvements. You know, as you mentioned, hardware acceleration, so you can do a little bit more compute, graphic intensive operations within the browser. H.264 support for video. We talked about some 3D, so you can do some 3D effects in a pretty cool way. You're also going to see for kind of bread and butter forms over data applications, which is what most of us actually, as a majority of developers spend time working on. You'll see some really nice improvements there. I think that the thing that we've really tried to do is just have Silverlight stay fairly tight and small as a release, but increasingly kind of open up new scenarios. Mm-hmm. And so we're feeling pretty good in terms of where it's going and the types of new things that you can't do with Ajax or Flash or really anything else inside the browser. You're really going to start to see that more and more this year.
Excellent.
Yeah, so that'll be fun.
And so, you're sort of venturing into Silverlight 3. How's Silverlight doing, right? You've gone through two iterations. How are people using it? What kind of feedback are you getting? Do people like the model of writing, managed code to run inside of a browser? And basically XAML, sort of a modified version of WPF. Can you talk a little bit about how's it doing, man?
It's overall we're feeling pretty good. Trying to kind of establish, a new web offering that runs on the client, going into it, we definitely knew it was going to be a multi-year event in terms of getting distribution, getting deployment. And right now I'd say we're pretty much on track in terms of where we'd like to be.
Cool.
And if you look at, what's fun is to see the developer base continuing to grow. If you look at Silverlight books now on Amazon, they're usually near the top of the list in the computer book section. Mm. If you look at some of the downloads, we have the Silverlight control toolkit has a bunch of additional controls that we offer. And, usually within about 10 days of us posting a new update, we typically are in the 40,000 to 50,000 download range, which is not bad for a product that's only been out for about 12 weeks. We're feeling pretty good in terms of the developer adoption and developer buzz, continue to increase.
Mm-hmm.
And, for the big part of Silverlight is also just being able to leverage the .NET developer base and the skill set and the tooling, mm-hmm. Going forward is just a huge asset. And so, what we've basically been focusing on is, very regular, continual releases, keep adding value, keep adding features.
Mm-hmm.
And, starting with Silverlight 2, things then started to get pretty interesting, and the feedback got really good. You'll see over the next Silverlight 3, Silverlight 4 time frame, whole new areas that you just can't do today with anything else start to open up, that'll be exciting.
Excellent. Yeah. So, I guess it's been about 4 years now since the advent of the campaign about developer and designer interaction, right? Mm-hmm. No longer do they need to live in separate quarters and blah, blah, blah. But, how's that working? Are we seeing that in the wild you're really having success with the notion of developers receiving XAML files from designers that were created in Expression, and then they have this sort of nice continuum, this mm-hmm. nice relationship? Is that really happening? Are you noticing that vision is coming to bear?
Well, certainly. I think certainly what you're seeing is, the focus on user experience matters more and more. Both for internet-facing sites and kind of Web 2.0 cool shops, but also, if you've used, if you use MySpace or Facebook or, any online site as just a consumer, mm-hmm. and then you go inside your enterprise and you access your sales tracking application, if it looks kind of boring and gray, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
There's this old generation now of end users that are just conditioned to thinking, well, it must not be very good. And so, even inside enterprises or corporates where you'd think user experience doesn't matter as much. It often sends a subtle message in terms of the quality. And done right, you know, not where you're doing excessive animations, but where you really think about the user workflow, you know, having a really solid user experience can dramatically improve the productivity of someone actually interacting with the application. So, mm-hmm. you know, in general, we think user experience matters, and certainly over the last 3 or 4 years, it's mattered more and more than ever before. And I think, you know, where we're still at today is trying to figure out how do developers and designers work together. Mm-hmm. And, you know, about 4 years ago when we announced the Expression line of products, you know, kind of our strategy was, you know, how do we have a set of products that complement Visual Studio but are designed for designers, you know, that really focus on the aesthetic, the workflow, and the user experience without having to put code, without having to put a debugger inside a designer's face. Mm-hmm. And then really importantly, allow that tool in Visual Studio to be able to open up the same application and work together on it. And, you know, again, launching a designer brand and line from scratch is a lot of work.
Sure.
You know, I feel pretty good in terms of where we're at, and you'll see a lot more about the integration and the feature set at Mix this year. Mm. But things like source control integration, you know, has been a big ask that a lot of people have had where, you know, hey, I want to be able to check in and check out files between the two tools in a seamless way. Much better, you know, we've always had, as part of WPF and Silverlight, this concept of kind of XAML and code separation.
Mm-hmm.
And it really promotes kind of what we call a model view separation kind of architecture where, you know, a designer can actually, you know, work on top of, you know, an object that a developer provides and not have to write code, but actually just use binding expressions in order to actually have the UI interact in a rich way. You know, you're going to see the next generation of tools, both on the expression side and on the VS side, start to come out over the next couple of months that really take that to the next level and take advantage of it. So, you know, in general, I'd say I feel pretty good about it. It's still, you know, it's still one of those things where I think we're going to be training developers and designers for a while, mm-hmm. both in terms of how to interact well together, but also just, you know, what, you know, how do you add the aesthetic or how do you add that polished user experience into your application?
Absolutely.
And that's a hard thing. And so, you know, the tools will get better, make that easier. And events like Mix, you know, that's one of the things we do talk about, and that's one of the fun things about just the hallway conversation and the parties that happen there, mm-hmm. is the ability to kind of literally mix, you know, with different people that have different backgrounds. You know, some of them not on Microsoft platforms, some of them, you know, using LAMP or using Flash.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them doing cool Silverlight projects, doing cool ASP.NET projects. You know, and that, you know, a number of people have told me that they actually think the socializing and just the interaction of the hallway conversations, they actually, you know, are even sometimes more valuable than the actual talks themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But the talks themselves also focus a lot on that, so hopefully there's good value there too.
Absolutely, and, you know, being sort of Jennifer Ritzinger's, or I call her Ritzy, sort of marketing dude, but one of the other cool things about Mix is the fact you have about 50% designers, 50% developers, so they actually do mix and engage.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be interesting to see how they interact and if mm-hmm. there were some way we could get them to try to build things together and see how they
yeah.
work.
A lot of, you know, a lot of the conference, the layout and things like that, you know, we have, you know, like there's Guitar Hero and there's snack bars and there's,
yeah.
you know, there's a lot of kind of whiteboard impromptu meetings in addition to kind of, you know, formal sessions. And so, you know, part of the goal is to kind of, and I think we see ourselves helping cause that mix and mm-hmm. kind of encourage those discussions to happen. And, you know, it doesn't mean that you have to, but, you know, if you just want to hang out with developers, great. If you just want to hang out with designers, great.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, I think that is something that makes the conference a little special and definitely unique amongst Microsoft conferences.
Cool. So enough of the mix marketing, man. No, I'm just kidding. So you do a lot of keynotes, and you never really seem nervous. You seem like you are right now when you walk out in front of, you know, the PDC. There were many thousands of people in the audience. How do you I'm curious. I mean, because you have to do a lot of technical things on stage, right? Make
yeah.
sure the demo works, be able to explain, stay calm and collected. Just take us through real quickly. How do you maintain your calm?
stay mellow. Part of it is, you know, often it depends on the type of talk that I'm giving. If it's mm-hmm. if it's a talk on products or specifically the products I'm working on, if it's a talk on, you know, stuff I know well and love, then, you know, in many ways I keynote is fun. Cool. You know, hey, I get to talk about stuff I enjoy doing and get a kick out of. And so, you know, I don't usually worry too much around those things. You know, if it's a talk on, you know, philosophy or, you know, or more, you know, esoteric ones, and I've done a couple of those, you know, there I actually spend a lot more time preparing because I have to actually make sure I sound smart. But, you know, in general, I haven't, it's been a while since I've been super nervous in front of a big crowd. It also helps in these big conferences that there's so many strong lights, you can't see me on the fourth row. So, you know, the key thing is just to imagine it's only the 115 people you can actually see that are actually there. And you can just sort of hear the audience back there and stuff. So, you know, for something like Mix is probably a conference. You know, a lot of conferences where I keynote, I'll really start preparing in earnest like a week before. And you know, for smaller events, sometimes even, you know, the flight down. But you know, Mix is kind of interesting, partly because, you know, there is such an attention on user experience. And the expectations in terms of what people see is so high. Mm-hmm. You know, I actually sometimes will start mentally thinking about the keynote 6 months before.
And
start thinking about, oh, you know, it'd be cool to be able to show that, or it'd be cool to actually partner with so-and-so to do that. And then usually about 7 or 8 weeks before the event, we actually start finalizing kind of who the partners will be on stage.
Sure.
You know, we've had, you know, the Olympics, Netflix, Aston Martin, Cirque du Soleil, you know, I'm losing track of all the cool names that we've had on stage that have talked, and that's great, you know, that seeing those cool projects and hearing those customers talk about what they're doing with the technology, you know, again, I think is kind of cool and fun. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, this time I am going to make sure also. The first year I actually did a lot of coding, and like about a 20-minute coding session on stage, which was actually, for me, the funnest part.
I bet.
And then last year we had so many great customer apps that actually came through, mm-hmm. That we actually had to cut my coding section, which kind of sucked. And
yeah.
So this year we're definitely going to make sure that I get a riff on stage a little bit and write some code. You know, definitely looking forward to that. So
cool. Well, hey. Thank you for your time.
Cool.
It's always great to come and talk to you. And,
cool. Well, thanks for having me.
We'll be here again, because I definitely want to talk to you more about the CLR.
Okay,
and
sure.
I don't think that's really something that's going to be addressed at this particular time, but it's really interesting.
Cool. Yeah, definitely.
All right. Thank you for your time, man.
Thanks so much.